to the Lord in the past 5 years as a result of that. And I want to talk to you tonight about how to increase in anything. How to increase in anything. And we'll get to the details here in a second and how to do that. And I believe you're going to increase tonight when you leave here. Many of you will increase financially. Before you leave this place, you will increase financially because God's going to bless you. And what you focus on is what you are going to attract in life. So life is a lot about focus. What are you focused on? What are you thinking about? I know there are a lot of people right now, they're focused on the Dallas Cowboys. And so that's what they're going to be attracting right now. But you got to focus on the Lord. Focus on the things of God. And what you focus on is what's coming into your life. And what we do is we go around, we emphasize soul winning so that a church that is emphasizing soul winning is constantly focused in recognizing opportunities to lead people to the Lord. And so that's why a lot of times you'll see people will say, well, I never realized I had so many opportunities to share the gospel until the last 5 years. That's why you have people that may have never led anyone to the Lord, and then in the past 5 years, they've led literally thousands of people to the Lord. And you say, well, how did that happen? It's a matter of emphasis, maybe training, maybe focus, and just recognizing those opportunities and being taught to preach the gospel to every creature, which is what we do. We see in Acts chapter 16 where Paul, he tried to go to Bithynia. They went to Troas. The Holy Ghost said, no, don't go there, don't go there. Finally had a dream. A man from Macedonia said, come over here. And then they knew where to go. But the fact is they were moving in a direction. My dad used to always tell me, you can't not steer a bicycle that's not moving. You got to get going in a direction. And we see how Paul, they were going to preach the gospel to every creature in all the world. As they started to go, God started to lead them. And so you have to be willing to change plans. You have to be willing to shift gears with the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Spirit might say, no, don't do that, do this instead. And so you obey God. And as Charlie was preaching this morning, which great job, Charlie, this morning. I don't see him right now. I think he's taking care of business. But he did a great job preaching on hope. And he was talking about people that you meet in your neighborhood, friends, family, that have lost their hope. And he was talking about all the people that had committed suicide that he knows of. And when people lose their hope, they many times lose their life. Because hope brings life. Amen? And so we have to recognize those opportunities to share hope or to impart hope into somebody. And I was thinking about all the opportunities the past 5 years where we have seen people and imparted just hope into their life. Just a moment of hope can bring somebody back to life. I have a friend who is, he was not a Christian, not born again, that I worked with. And he was going through a hard time when his girlfriend, they had a breakup and everything. And he was considering and getting so depressed that suicide was a temptation to him. And this guy's not born again at that time, although I did lead him to the Lord. But at that time he was not born again, and he said he was in his car sitting at a stoplight on his way to work. And he looked over at a little kid, and as he looks through the window, he sees this little kid in the window who just looks at him and smiles and waves at him. And he said something happened to him he could not explain. He said he just started weeping, and he said he felt like something just came off of him, and he was no longer depressed over that situation. Now, this is somebody that's not churched at all or born again, saying something came off of them because a little kid looked at them and smiled and waved. I believe that kid was anointed, was born again, spirit-filled, and transmitted the anointing of hope to somebody unknowingly and possibly saved their life. And it was the beginning of a life that was led to the Lord. And I love to see now on my friend's Facebook, I see Joel Osteen posts and things like that where he's gotten into some hope. And God's been building him. It's awesome to see. So you never know. We've had people, and I'm just going to go over a few stories. I talked to Pastor last night over the phone, and he encouraged me, share some stories about soul winning. And so I said, yes, I would love to do that. And I was thinking about one lady not far from here in Haltom City, an apartment complex we went to right over here in the Sands apartment. Asked, has anyone ever told you God loves you and has a good plan for your life? And the lady said, young lady said, you know, I had just tried to commit suicide before you came here. And I just couldn't do it. You never know who you're coming across in your neighborhood. Someone else just lost their spouse. A man on the west side here at Calmont Terrace Apartments. A man on the west side had lost his spouse, was an angry man. And was, get out of here, I don't need that, I don't want that. And started just responded in the opposite spirit. Whenever that happens, you respond in the spirit of love. And God just worked that out. It was amazing how by the end of that time, he apologized about 7 times saying, I'm so sorry, I was so rude to you. Literally with tears in his eyes, we prayed, he received the Lord. Come to find out he had gone to Harold Nichols Church back when Kenneth Copeland went there. And his wife went with him. And so he had had a hard time in life as a result of that. But apologized profusely. It's amazing what God does. And you don't know what people are going through. I've talked to people who they just lost their job. One person a few blocks from the church here was mad at God. Refused, rejected the gospel. Wouldn't have anything to do with it. He had worked his whole life, saved all his money, everything, because he was waiting for the day he would retire, live life to the fullest. He wouldn't have to work anymore. He'd been working, saving all this money. Retirement came, and then he was diagnosed with cancer, had 6 months to live. And he was so angry and so bitter at God about it, he rejected and would not have anything to do with the gospel. That's sad. That's unfortunate. But you never know what people are going through as you come across their life. Some people are bitter because they've had something like maybe diagnosed with cancer. But that's why we always tell people, run to God. Don't run away from God, because so many people do run away from God. Had another guy here in Haltom City, a lady actually. She had just asked, when we came to her door, she had just asked if God was real. And here we come to her door with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then after we led her to the Lord, she said, are you an angel? And I said, no, I'm pretty sure I'm not. I'm sure my wife would say I was, but no, I'm not an angel. Last time I checked. And then after I was about to leave, before I left, she goes, hey, are you sure you're not an angel? I said, no, I'm not an angel. Another girl crying on the side of the road. It was amazing. On a rainy day, this girl's crying. It's amazing how you can tell when somebody's crying, even when it's raining and they're soaking wet. Saw this girl on the side of the road crying, and she was just wondering if anybody cared about her. And God sent me across her path, and I said, you know what? God cares about you, and he sent me to tell you. One lady that was carrying water into her house had just had somebody witness to her and texted her about the gospel. And then here I am, show up at her door and preach the gospel to her and lead her in a prayer of salvation. She said, somebody just texted me about that. It's amazing. I'm going to hand my phone off just in case it sometimes interferes with the audio. Thank you, babe. Had just had someone witness to her. Somebody else had just moved here from another country. I helped this guy. It was his first week or something. He was here, he was working, and hardly knew English, but didn't know anything about Jesus, didn't know who Jesus was, and was able to tell him. I had to go divert from the script a little bit and go through a little more detail about Jesus, who Jesus is, because he didn't even know. Some have never heard of heaven. I've told the story about a 10-year-old boy who asked, what's heaven? And so we have people all over the place. You have to recognize those opportunities to lead people to the Lord, because they're everywhere. And how will you find these people if you don't ask everyone that you can? You know, how will you find those people if those people have been there the whole time? It's just we have gotten the anointing and the power and the mandate and just received that and recognize it and responded to that enough to say, I'm going to go out and I'm going to ask somebody. Just ask them. And just the other week, I walked into apartments last week, And there was this guy working. He had his tools and everything on the job there in the apartments. I thought, oh, he's busy. And I started to walk away. But you know what? God just arrested me and said, no, ask him. So I said, all right. And went ahead and asked the guy. He just started weeping, crying. He thought he would go to heaven because he wore a scapula. It's a Catholic thing. He said he thought he would go to hell because he had taken it off and wasn't wearing it anymore. So he thought he was going to hell based on that and was able to preach the gospel. He came Sunday, brought his fiance. They both answered the altar call. Then took him to lunch. They said, man, this is awesome. He's been texting me all week. It was his first day on the job there. Isn't that amazing? Hey, God does things all the time like that. But how will you find those people if you don't go and ask them? And one of the number one hindrances to increase in everything is fear. Fear keeps us from increasing. Fear holds us back. And people, they admit fear as if it was no big deal. Well, I'm just afraid to do that. And yet they don't realize how serious fear is to God and what a serious sin it is to be afraid. Because the Bible says that anything not of faith is of sin. And so if you're in fear, you're actually living in sin. And most people wouldn't say that or wouldn't admit that. Well, but it's a little sin, but hey, sin is sin. And I'll say this, fear has probably hindered more people than any of the major sins that we call major sins. Think about it. Do we allow that in our life or do we kick it out? We don't yield to that spirit of God. Just like we wouldn't yield to a spirit of adultery. We wouldn't yield to a spirit of fornication or greed or homosexuality or whatever. We wouldn't yield to that. So why would we yield to fear? Many times people also yield to sickness. We kick it out. We say, no, in Jesus' name, you've got to go. We don't yield to sickness. And we command it to leave and we run it out of our house. 2 Timothy 1:7. Of course, many of us know this by heart. 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Here Paul is telling Timothy, be a partaker of the afflictions. If you want to increase, you have to be a partaker of the afflictions, okay? There's going to come some persecutions that come with the blessings of the Lord, with persecutions. And then there's going to be some afflictions that come, and you can't be afraid of the afflictions. The Bible says you have, in the world, you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. You're going to overcome the afflictions. And any afflictions that the devil tries to bring your way or the world or whoever else or your neighbor, your family, your relatives, it's just like a slingshot that pulls you back. And the more they pull, it just means the farther you're going to fly and the farther you're going to go. And so if you've had something in life that seems like a setback or something that seems like it disqualifies you or maybe even an affliction, as it comes, just trust that this is only going to launch me forward farther and faster than I would have gone had I not have had that happen. And like Charlie said this morning, God can restore the years that the cankerworm hath eaten, as the Bible says. But God can restore the years that have been stolen from you or you've lost even if it was your fault. God can do it, and He will do it, and He wants to do it. How do you increase in everything? You've got to recognize your opportunity to go forward. And you've got to not stop when the affliction comes. That's where a lot of people miss it. They see the affliction, and they stop. You know, the very first time I went out door-to-door soul winning in outreach, I got stung by a big old hornet right on the leg. And I'm telling you, that was discouraging. And I thought to myself, man, is this what soul winning is all about? I had a lady slam the door in my face. I knocked on the door again, thought, surely this lady wants the gospel. She said, leave me alone. Why do you keep preaching to me? And slammed the door in my face. And I walked away, and that affected me. It was an affliction. Here I am stung by a hornet and got the door slammed in my face. That's how it started. But let me tell you something, you don't stop at that point. You plow through, you praise God, you count it all joy whenever you come into some of those afflictions. And I got the revelation too that I don't want to go to heaven and realize I didn't suffer anything for the Lord. I don't want to go to heaven and my testimony be, well, yeah, I got stung by a hornet once preaching the gospel. Meanwhile, Peter's like, man, I was hung upside down. Seems like I was stoned. And you're complaining about a hornet sting? Come on. You're upset because somebody slammed the door in your face? You kidding? We had the door slammed on us. And then we got run over and pulled apart and cut in half and all these terrible things that people suffered for the gospel of Jesus Christ. What can you suffer really in this society, in today's society? Yeah, I got unfriended on Facebook. Oh, wow. You know, I've been cussed out before. Many of you have too, I'm sure, leading, just trying to, but you respond in the opposite spirit. You respond in love, just like Stephen did. He said, Father, forgive them. Just like Jesus did, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And I've been threatened to be killed. I had somebody tell me one time they would kill me. I had one guy cuss me and say, I don't want that blankety blank. He said, I'm a blankety blank pastor. I know, that will shock you. That will shock you. When a pastor cusses you out and says, don't give me that, I'm a blankety blank pastor, I don't need what you got. So yeah, you need more than what I got. Praise God. You need a lot. I remember one time I was in an apartment complex, and it was pretty tough to handle getting run off and run out of the apartment complex by a guy wearing lipstick and a dress and a beard. And I wouldn't have left except he was in the manager's office. And the manager was behind him and said, yes, get out of here. We don't want you here. In an apartment complex. Yeah, I'm telling you, the world needs Jesus. Amen? One of our soul winners, Barry Moulton, he got chased by a maintenance man with a crowbar one day. That was exciting. That was a fun day. And we found that usually wherever we go, people either love us or they hate us. You know, they either love you or they hate you. And sometimes we just go and we'll say, I wonder if they hate us here. And so Gerard and I will go and we'll see. And hey, if they love us there, we'll bring other people. You know, if they chase us off with a crowbar, we may not come back there for a while. Like Jesus said, shake the dust off your feet. Just say, okay. Hey, there's so many people that want it. There's more people and enough people that love us that don't worry about the people that hate you. If they hated Jesus, they're going to hate you. Okay? So we don't worry about that. I remember one time soul winning, and I was trying to lead this guy to the Lord, and I got to the part where I started to pray. I said, say, dear Lord Jesus. The man just looked at me, and he kind of started leaning toward me, and he stuck out his tongue, and he just goes, like that. And I mean, fortunately, I looked up just in time to dodge, and I grabbed him. I said, are you okay? I thought something was wrong. I was having a heart attack or something. And I grabbed him, and he stopped, and he looked at me, and he goes, no, I was just trying to lick you. I said, well, praise God. I was with Gerard one day. This was so funny. We see some awesome stuff on the streets. I was out, we were out soul winning, Gerard was leading this lady to the Lord that was up on the sidewalk with the handrail. And as he's praying with her, he bows his head and he's praying with her to receive the Lord. All of a sudden, he started feeling something on his face. He opened his eyes, and there was a little dog licking his face as he's praying with this lady. I laughed so hard. Oh, my gosh. So I always tell people, hey, if soul winners can take a licking and keep on ticking, I'm telling you, we don't let it stop us. I was soul winning one day with the team, and I crunched my truck. Oh, remember that day? Man, that was a sad day. It's hard to keep positive and keep the faith and encourage everybody when you just crunched your truck in a pole that I didn't see. It was not pretty. But you know what? God ended up working that out. And we praise God anyway. Oh, well, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Trying to keep, you know, laugh to keep from crying. But praise God, the insurance company I have has accident forgiveness. and it didn't cost me anything to get it fixed. Praise God. Even the deductible was taken care of. So praise God. It wasn't as bad as I thought. Thank God for accident forgiveness. Thank God He has accident forgiveness. Amen. Praise God. That's a commercial for some insurance company. Those of you that know who that is. But you know, some crazy things have happened. We've learned in soul winning the past 5 years not to judge a book by its cover. Just like Charlie was saying, don't take anything for granted. Don't think anybody's okay. Oh, well, that they're cleaned up. They look nice. They must have everything together. They smile. They're happy. And at the same time, too, don't think anybody's mean just because they look big, burly, and mean. I was soul winning one day in what apartments? The Springs apartments down there on University. And as I was there, I saw this big guy come off the second story, and that's the direction I was headed, and I saw him come out of his apartment, a big old bear-looking man, full beard, sunglasses, and the guy looked honestly kind of scary, and he started to look down. I see him get his sunglasses like this, and he's looking at me, and the look on his face, it made me want to go this way. So I thought, I feel led to go this way. And I have to tell you, I don't like to admit my faults. But in this case, for your benefit, I will. I let fear enter in, and I turn this way. I repent. But as I started to turn, I hear him yell my name, Dan Kraft. And I thought, he knows my name. So I turn around, and I start going back. Yeah? He said, come here, what are you doing here? And I come to find out he was a junior high kid that I taught in junior high here in this church. Grew up in this church with his family his whole life and had just grown up and grown a beard and turned into a bear. And I didn't know it. And that guy gave me the biggest hug and picked me up off the ground. I prayed with him and we just had an awesome time there. Just got him. You know, I believe in the direction he needed to go again. He had been away from the Lord and used me as an opportunity there just to bring another touch of guidance. He hasn't been here to church, but I was there at his house, at his front door. Praise God. Isn't that awesome how Jesus is? He'll come find you. You've heard Pastor Bob tell the story about his brother, how he went and found his brother in an apartment. He didn't know where he was. Couldn't have possibly known, but the Holy Spirit led him to his door. And we opened his door, he was shocked. He was like, there's Jesus on my front steps. He knows where I am. He knows there's nowhere you can go you can't run from the Holy Ghost. There may be somebody watching right now that you may think nobody knows what's going on in your life. Nobody, but God knows. He knows where you are. He knows you're watching this. And God wants you to know that He is at work in your life. God's at work. But how does God work? He works through us. Amen? So if God's going to work, He needs some hands. And oh, to be God's hand extended. That's what I want to be, reaching out to the oppressed. So you can't judge a book by its cover. Another time, my dad, he was a car salesman. And as he was selling cars, he saw this man walk in that was dirty, dusty, overalls, just looked like this guy probably didn't have a penny to his name. And my dad thought, man, I really don't want to talk to that guy. So he bent over underneath his desk and started acting like he was doing something. Really, he was hiding under his desk. Meanwhile, the manager of the whole place walks out. And he goes, Mr. Adair, how are you, sir? Mr. Adair goes start shaking his hand. Hey, it's so good to see you. And my dad's thinking, how does he know this guy? Well, the guy ends up buying a vehicle, brand new pickup truck, cash, that he had tucked up in his overalls. Come to find out, this guy was some famous oil man that everybody knew about. And whenever, except for my dad, but the manager calls, hey, Charlie, can you come here? Calls my dad in the office. My dad sits down across from the desk there. And on his desk, the manager had all these $100 bills laid out on the desk. And he said, "Charlie, I saw you duck behind your desk when Mr. Adair walked in." He said, "But you know what?" He said, "If you hadn't have done that, all these would be yours. But now," and he put them together, he goes, "they're mine." And he stuck them in his pocket. He didn't give Dad any of them. My dad learned a lesson that he shared with me many times. Dan, in sales or whatever, in life, don't judge a book by its cover. Don't look at somebody and judge them based on how they look. Don't judge them by how much money they have. Don't judge them by anything. Like Charlie said this morning, it doesn't buy happiness. Just because somebody has money, don't assume they're happy. Just because somebody has everything that you think you want, don't think they have everything they want or need. I'm telling you, what people need is Jesus. So, you know, we've had some crazy things, but you know what? We've had some amazing happy things happen in the past 5 years here at Calvary, out on the streets. I remember one day, it was hot. Man, we were just sweating out there, leading people to the Lord. It was summer in Texas. And I'm trying to remember who all was with us. I know Gerard was with us that day. I think Robbie was with us that day. But we were out soul winning, and this lady came running out after we led her to the Lord. She ran in the house. We prayed with her husband, who was mowing the yard. She runs out with this big old jug of tamarindo. Those that know what tamarindo is, it's like a drink that... it's a Hispanic drink that people make that is so good. And it was ice cold. And she was like, here, I want to bless you guys. She recognized an opportunity. And I got to thinking about the cup of cold water. And I'm telling you, I celebrated that cup. And I will tell that story everywhere I go. Wherever the gospel is preached, it will be preached about that young lady who brought out the tamarindo because it was worth something to us. It was worth, if I'd have said, somebody came out and said, here's $1 million, people would be celebrating. But I'm telling you, that drink was awesome at that moment. It was worth something to us. One guy, I remember, it was a police officer. I was told, you know, hey, you can't come in and you can't hand out your flyers, no, whatever. And the officer said, what is this? And I told him, and he said, "You know what, I know your church, I know who you are, because you do so much for the community, only you guys can come in. Y'all come in, but no other church, nobody else. Because I know you guys, I know what you do so much for the community." That was a blessing that day, to have that special favor of God on our life. I remember one day recently I was out soul winning, and as I was praying with these two ladies at a picnic bench, all of a sudden, I opened my eyes and I saw a whole gang of about 25 people coming this way, 25 people coming this way, and they started fighting in the middle. And I said, "What is going on?" There was nobody there except these two ladies. By the time I was finished, here's this gang fight. I said, "Man, I'm just happened to be in the right place at the right time. This is awesome." But I'm seeing these people fighting, and I just thought about that scripture, you know, that says that a foolish man it gets in other people's quarrels, and it's like a man who takes a dog by the ears. And I thought, I don't think I want to get in this fight. And I have no racism in me at all, but I just happen to be the only white guy in any direction. So it wasn't a racial fight, it was like a gang war. But I thought, man, here I am. I don't have any business in this fight. I'm just going to stay out of it. But I saw this one young lady that I could not help but see that was being choked and choked out by another young lady, probably college age. But here she is choking her to the point where she was either about to go unconscious or die. And I thought, man, I can't see this happen and not do something. So I took my flyers and I just lifted my hands up and I walked in the middle of all of them. And I just said, "Hey, I want to pray for y'all. I want to pray for y'all. Hey, y'all, I want to pray for you. I'm a minister. I want to pray for you." And one person, I mean, his fist still like this, goes, "We don't want to fight. I mean, we don't want to pray." They were fighting. He goes, "We don't want to pray." What you talking about? Like, are you crazy? We don't want to pray. And they're just fighting. And so I'm saying, hey, I want to pray for you, God. I thought, has anyone ever told you God loves you? Well, this one guy stops and he puts his arm around me and he says, hey, I support this guy. Let's pray. I said, thank God. One person puts his arm around me. It's not to choke me out. I support this guy. Let's pray. And so then everybody's like, and then it kind of threw out the mood. I don't know why. I guess nobody really wanted to beat each other up at that point. But they didn't want to pray either. And they just split up and all took off. Even the girl that was being choked to death didn't want to pray. I thought, what is up with this? I come here to try to save your life and you don't want to pray. Nope. You just take off. Well, the one guy, Davion, did pray with me to receive the Lord. And I really honestly kind of felt like a failure. Like, man, that didn't work. I was hoping they would all pray to receive the Lord. We'd have revival and they'd all hug and make up, you know, or something. But it didn't happen like I thought. However, that one man did. And then when I turned around and I looked, I noticed there were people all came out of their apartments to see what was going on. And I was able to pray with them. And I led all of them to the Lord and had an audience, had a crowd at that point. So I recognized the opportunity. Hey, this is an opportunity to lead these people to the Lord. Because they know I must be the real deal to be this crazy white guy walking into a gang fight saying, hey, I want to pray for you. And then the police showed up. Then we heard sirens. By the time the police got there, they were like, what's going on? Well, there was a gang fight, but by then I was gone. I was going the next door. I thought, I don't want to give a police report. But you know, the police weren't needed. And I'm telling you, if we'll do our job, the police won't have to do theirs. If we'll do our job, the Holy Spirit told me one time, he said, when you know the streets better than the gangbangers, the drug dealers, the prostitutes, the whatever, if you know the streets better than they do, then your city will be changed. And when you're there, you can stop crime before it ever happens. We've seen that with Bud Jordan, another story over the past 5 years where he stopped a man who was in a hurry on his way to go somewhere. And he said, hey, stop the guy. Has anyone ever told you, and you know, it was inconvenient. And the guy's, okay, what's this? And it led him to the Lord. And then I come down here one day, a Sunday morning, in the foyer, thank you, atrium. We need an atrium. So I was in the atrium, the foyer, and this guy goes, hey, can you take our picture? And I said, sure. What am I taking this picture for? He wanted his picture with Bud Jordan, you know, our usher, our greeter there at the door. And I said, what am I taking this picture for? He said, this man saved my life. I said, what? He said, I was on my way to commit a crime out of revenge. And I imagine he was probably going to kill somebody. And this man stopped me and prayed with me. And he said, I wanted to come get my picture with this guy. He didn't want his picture with Rodney Howard Brown. He didn't want his picture with Benny Hinn. He didn't want his picture with Pastor Bob Nichols. He wanted his picture with Bud Jordan. Because that was the guy who led him to the Lord and saved his life. Isn't that awesome? Praise God. That's awesome. I can't tell you how many tears, smiles, hugs, handshakes, lives changed over the past 5 years as a result of going out. This Wednesday will mark 5 years to the day that we started in a new way going out and reaching the lost. Over 115,000 people, over 30,000 people that have come through those doors that we bussed in through the bus ministry that wouldn't have come here any other way except so a bus came and got them and brought them. Think about over 500,000 canned food items that we've given. Think about the guy who got a can of green beans. That's all he had left to eat. A guy named John Costa. All he had was a can of green beans. And he got a flyer on his door that said, hey, we give away free groceries. He said, hey, I could use that. I'm waiting for my government check to come in because he had had a stroke, had been paralyzed 11 months Before that was a firefighter making $80,000 a year. And here he is now. He's paralyzed, 11 months of painful therapy and treatment. He finally got out, but he was homeless, lost his job, lost everything, was waiting for government checks to kick in. They put him in an apartment in the meantime, and all he had was one can of green beans. He gets this flyer on the door. He comes here, gets on the bus, and realizes when he gets here, oh, this is a church. He didn't want that. He was mad at God because he thought God killed his wife with cancer. He thought God gave him the stroke. God caused those things to happen. But it wasn't God that did those things to him. He learned that that was the devil. The devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And you can resist the devil. And so he realized, I need to resist the devil, not resist God. He came, he was the first person I ever water baptized. I had never baptized anybody. I don't know. I mean, I've been on staff here for years and years and never... just never had an opportunity to. One day they said, hey, can you do water baptism? I said, sure. I've never done it before. I'll give it a shot. And when you know, the first guy I water baptized is like 10 feet tall. No, John was a tall man. And I thought, oh, Lord, let him be short. So I'm like trying to get him down and get him all the way back up. Well, John got water baptized, started winning souls, started reaching the lost, and it was awesome to see. And then all of a sudden, I got a call from Charlie. Hey, John is in the hospital. He had another stroke. He's paralyzed. Oh, great. So I just went down to JPS, and there he was in the emergency room crying. And I heard him outside before I walked in. We have a patient here, John Costa, suffered a massive stroke. He's paralyzed. We need a room ready, an ICU. And so I walk in there, and there he is crying. He said, you know, it's like I try to go forward two steps, I get knocked back five, tears running down his cheeks, laying there. And, you know, like I said, sometimes there's afflictions, but you press past that. And I don't know the whole story of what all happened there and the details with him. But, you know, to me, it was amazing how after 3 days, he was completely miraculously healed, was able to do 15 push-ups. There, right there, the doctor said, we've seen a notable miracle. I talked to the nurse that had him before with his previous stroke, who was there, happened to be his nurse that time for that one. And I said, is this the same man? Because I was a little skeptical myself. Did this really happen? He said, yes, this is the same guy. I had this guy before. It's amazing. What happened? And again, I can't explain everything that happened there, but to me, the most amazing thing was that he came to Bible college for 2 years and graduated, and now he's working with the Duck Dynasty guys there in Louisiana. Still preaching the gospel, feeding the homeless, helping the hungry. And I tell you, John is rough around the edges. I would say it to his face if he was right here. He would agree, yes, I am rough around the edges. But praise God, he's not homeless, he's not paralyzed, he's not on the streets committing crime, he's not mad at God anymore. Praise God, look at what God has done. And he's growing up every day. It's awesome what God is doing in John's life. Got married. I look at Terry, look at Terry. Praise God, Terry, Cindy, y'all stand up. Y'all stand up. Here's Terry, praise God. Again, fruit of the outreach. Had been homeless 4 years. 4 years on the streets, cocaine addiction, 15 years. And here he is married now, clothed in his right mind. Hallelujah. That's awesome. Praise God, Gloria. I don't know if Gloria is here tonight. Also, another lady came off the west side. We go to her apartments regularly where she used to live and lead people to the Lord constantly. And now she came in, got married, is in ministry, serving here at the church, cleaning, doing whatever she can do for the Lord. I'm telling you, we've seen some fruit over the past 5 years. Things that at first people would say, well, will this really work or not? But hey, you know what? We're all stories in the making of what God is doing in people's lives and can do as a result. And not perfect. You know, sometimes we look at these stories and we think, wow, those are just perfect stories. You know, there's some things that you have to work through. The miracle. But they're real and they happen. And God works with us. He works through us. Even whenever maybe we don't deserve it. But I've figured out there is a key to increase. And I talked about earlier, I want to talk to you about how to increase. And there's two things. And we won't make this long at all, but how to increase in everything. Number one is to recognize an opportunity. And then two is to respond to that opportunity. Recognize and respond is the key to increasing in everything. You say, what do you mean everything? I mean, you can increase your waist size if you recognize a donut sign and respond to that opportunity. That's what advertisement is all about. That's what signs are for. Signs and wonders. Signs are for so you can recognize that sign and say, I want to respond to that. Commercials. You'll see commercials and brands and labels. They want you to recognize their name. They want you to recognize that food and then respond accordingly. And the same way, we have to recognize the anointing and respond to it. Recognize Jesus and respond to it, and we'll increase in whatever area that we're recognizing and responding to. I love so many times in the Bible where Jesus would do something and he was just waiting to see if anybody would recognize it. And you know what? Jesus, many times, he wouldn't even tell them. He wouldn't say, oh, you just missed that opportunity. No, he would just keep going. You know, whenever Jesus was walking on the water in the storm, I like how the Bible says that the disciples are freaking out. They're afraid they're going to drown. Everything's going crazy. And here's Jesus just walking by. On the water. And it says he would have passed them by, but they recognized him and said, whoa, what is that? I wonder if that was like the fifth time Jesus walked by. Finally. Waiting for them to recognize the opportunity. And you know, really, if you think about it, whenever Jesus was walking on the water, only one disciple recognized the opportunity to walk on the water. The others didn't even get that. But Peter said, hey, if that's you, can I come out there? I always love that guy, you know what I mean? There's always one in the group. Hey, can I do that? Sure, strap on. And they'll take off. And you're like, man, that guy's cool. He saw this guy like, that was doing this awesome stuff. And he said, hey, can I do that? And he said, sure, come on. Hooked him up, fitted him with the skis, and he took off. And he said, man, I wish I would have been the one to say, can I do that? But you just got to recognize those God opportunities, and then you'll increase. Because there are things in life that you see, and maybe things that you want, and it's in your heart. And you say, man, I would sure love to do that. And the opportunities have passed you by so many times. And I've been praying, Lord, help me not to miss opportunities. Because I'm getting closer and I'm getting better at recognizing them. The only problem is I usually recognize them about 5 minutes later. And I go, oh, that was an opportunity. Oh, I blew it. But I'm going to get better. Because it used to be 10 minutes. It used to be a day later that I would recognize it, but it's getting closer, and I'm almost to the point now where I believe I will be recognizing opportunities as they come and be able to respond to them in like manner. Instead of saying, oh, that was... And I'll tell you what has really helped me is soul winning. Honestly, because I get so many opportunities, the more you get, the better you get at recognizing them. And the problem is, so people have so few opportunities that they don't even think about it, that they don't recognize them, and they miss them. Okay? So when you've got so many opportunities, you'll start recognizing them, and you won't miss those opportunities so much. And that'll help you with anything. How to increase with anything. Respond to God's will. And so, I'm not talking about willpower. So many things we try to make happen by our own willpower. But I'm talking about the power of God's will. Because God has a will, you just have to know. And a lot of people have this mentality of, well, if God wants me blessed, I'll be blessed. Let me tell you something. God wants you blessed. Don't we know that by now? Well, if God wants me healed, I'll be healed. Well, if God wants me alive, then I'll be alive. Didn't it say that God is willing that none should perish? Not willing that any should perish? Well, if God wants me to go to hell, then that's where I'll go. No, You have the choice. In fact, you're the only deciding factor because God has already decided. He's already decided that you are blessed, you are healed, you are prosperous, you are saved, all these things. Now the question is, what do you recognize and then what do you respond to? So, I believe it would have been fine with Jesus if all the disciples had gotten out of the boat and been dancing on the lake. Let the boat sink. Who cares? We don't need a boat anymore, guys. Let's walk back. But 3 John 1:2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." Isaiah 53:5 says, "By his stripes we are healed." When did Jesus ever say, "No, it's not my will," whenever someone said, "Jesus, if it be your will, heal me"? Never once. He always healed them. Because it is his will. And so we shouldn't have that as a question. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You just got to call on the name of the Lord. So whose response is it? It's your responsibility. You have a responsibility to respond. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, "For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich." So we know Jesus paid the price for you to be rich. He wants you to be rich. In fact, he was poor so that you could be rich. Do you really want me rich? That would have to frustrate him, I would think. To say, "Do you know the stripes I took on my back and you're asking me if I want you to be healed? How much more do I have to do to show you?" Yes, I want you healed. So, how you respond to God's word determines the outcome of God's word. And so Abraham, he responded and made a sacrifice. When God said, "This is what I'm going to do for you," he responded with a sacrifice. Mary responded and said, "Be it unto me, according to your word, be it unto me." Zacharias didn't respond properly at first, and we know the story there, how he lost his voice and couldn't speak because he said, "Nah, that can't happen." He didn't respond properly, and he said, "Okay, for that, you're not going to be able to, you just don't talk." And sometimes we need that. Because we're not, and that's probably why we're not increasing in certain areas, is the way that we have programmed responses that we're not responding properly. And so we find we usually respond in a negative way, and so you're not getting it. And we haven't been trained to respond properly. And so we see how Saul responded on the road to Damascus, where he said, "Lord, who are you, and what would you have me to do? I'll do it." And he responded. Thank God he did, or he would have just been blind the rest of his life and would have never done what he did. But the balance is knowing that you are significant. And one of the greatest fears in society today is the fear of insignificance. Your significance isn't based on what you do so much. You're significant already because of who you are. The Bible in Ephesians 2:10 says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So that you are already his workmanship. All you have to do is rest in that and know, okay, this is what God has for me. He has made me a new creature. I'm not saying you have to earn increase, that you have to do something to earn things, because it's already paid for. All you have to do is take it. Like Pastor Bob has said many times, grace makes it available, and faith obtains it. So by faith, you just have to reach out and grab it. But you've already got it. You're already God's workmanship. You're already priceless work of art. Think about this. What does the Mona Lisa do? You know that painting, the Mona Lisa? What does it do? Nothing. Just sits there and smiles. And yet it's priceless, and people come from all over the world to see it. It's amazing. And I'm telling you, all you have to do, sit there and smile and say, "I am. I am a creation of God. It's powerful. And if you can rest in that, then you just say, okay, it's mine. I'll take that and respond to it. Now, again, how you respond to God's word determines the outcome of God's word. And so I want to give you an opportunity to respond to the word of God and increase in something tonight. And I want you to increase financially. I don't know, are we online right now? Is it possible to turn that off? Because what I want to do here is something that you kind of have to be here to do. So if we could go ahead and turn that off, let's turn it off. But I want you to increase financially. And to do that, you have to hear a word from God, then respond to it concerning finances. And I have a word from God tonight. I was sitting up in a tree Friday night. I was up in a tree till like 1 in the morning and accidentally pocket called Charlie. I had called my wife to have her let me in the house because the doors were locked at her grandmother's house out in the country, way out in the country. And I called my wife to have her let me in the house and I accidentally pocket called Charlie. Which is funny to do at 1 in the morning with Charlie Pryor, which I apologize. I hope it didn't wake you up. But anyway, I got a word from the Lord and I got a thought and an idea, which, again, an opportunity. And I had been thinking before about these opportunities to give. And how whenever you give cash to people regularly, you tend to not have cash in your pocket because you're giving it away to people. You're just like a flow. And I thought about Pastor Bob Nichols because I've noticed one thing about him is he loves to give people cash. I've seen him do it. And I've seen him sometimes go through his wallet, and as he's looking through his wallet, he goes, yeah. And he doesn't have much. So he'll look for a credit card. But he wants to bless somebody. And so I got to thinking, you know what? He gives so much. I bet as much as he gives, he really needs an income of cash for him to be able to give the cash like he wants to. And really, we think about it. We may come across people every once in a while, maybe once a week, maybe twice a week, of somebody that, hey, man, can you help me? You know, and so we don't realize, but someone like Pastor comes across people all the time, regularly. And so I thought, wouldn't it be cool I'm going to get him some cash. And so personally, I was going to just, hey, Pastor, here's some cash. But I had a thought and an idea. I said, wait a second, I can bless more people at once. This is going to be fun. And I got an exciting idea. This is what I want to do. And I want to do something to bless the church as well as bless the pastor. But then Charlie confirmed it this morning when he was talking about giving Pastor a card. He said, you know, Pastor likes cards. His birthday's coming up October 4th. And so, and I know Joy's is October 8th. Happy birthday, Miss Joy. I know your birthday's coming soon. We're excited about that. And I thought, hey, wouldn't it be awesome to have some cash to put in those cards? And I thought, that's what it is that needs to happen here. That's what needs to happen. And so, babe, can you hand me that? I've got some envelopes here, and this is what I want to do. And now this is one reason why I took it offline, and Susan, you can't tell Joy, you can't tell Pastor that I'm doing this, okay? It's got to be, I don't want him to know that I had anything to do with this, just because I don't want to seem like I'm doing it for any kind of special, oh, Dan, he's a kiss-up or whatever, right? I don't want to be known as teacher's pet or whatever, although I was in school, I have to tell you. I got in trouble one time in school when I was in eighth grade, and it was so funny. All the class started cracking up because I got in trouble one time in the year, and my teacher had to tell me to put my head on my desk. But I tell you what, I love other people just as much as I love the teacher. I love the students. I love the teachers. I love everybody. And so what I wanted to do was I wanted to take a dollar and put inside of these envelopes. And so what I need is some volunteers that you say, I want to receive the word of God that says, God wants you blessed. And so I'm going to ask you to give an offering tonight that is not too difficult, I don't think. But it may be more difficult than you realize. I want people to stand up that I'm going to give you one of these envelopes and you will pledge to give $1. And if you want to do that, I want you to stand up right now. You say, I pledge to give $1. All right. And now this is what I want you to do. If you want to pledge to give $1, I want to give you the dollar that you pledged to give in these envelopes. I have $1 bills. Okay. I'm going to give you this. Now this is your mission and how you're going to respond to the anointing of increase. You're going to take this dollar and pray over it. Say, Lord, multiply it. God, add to it. And then I'm going to sow it. Now, some can sow it into the offering here at the church. That's great if you want to. If you add to it, bring it to the church, put it in the offering. Some may want to put it in a card, give it to pastor. It's your dollar. You can do with it what you want to. The only thing I ask you not to do is don't keep any of it for yourself. Because I felt like the Lord said, be careful here because we don't want any Ananias and Sapphiras. And if you don't know that story, Google it. Because your life could depend on it. But this dollar could increase to thousands of dollars. If you go to someone and say, hey, this guy at church, this crazy preacher at church gave me this dollar and challenged me to make it grow and increase to bless my pastor or bless the church or do whatever. Would you be willing to add anything to this? And people might be like, sure, here's 10 bucks. Oh, awesome, thank you. Now I have $11. And you go to say, hey, would you be interested? I've got 11 bucks here and I'm just, you know, collecting for our church. It does so much. Our pastor has done so much. His birthday's. Would you want to add anything to this? Sure, here's some money. And next thing you know, you've got a bunch of money. Don't take any of it for yourself. It's dangerous. But bring that money and give it. And you'll increase in how much you can give. But it also, and I know for some of you, you're like, $1, come on, really? That's so small. That's such a small seed. But that's the point. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. We did one time where we had, and I'm going to go ahead and say, if you're standing, go ahead and come on up here to the front, and we're going to start handing these out. And I don't know how many I have, but I'm going to try to give everybody one here. And if not, Charlie, you want to hand some out here? Hand everybody one. Samuel, you want to hand some out? Why don't you hand some out to this side? All right. And Robert, you hand the rest out over there until we run out. Take one of those. We did this thing where we were selling dollar keychains. They were $2. Well, the ones we were selling were for $1. Those little keychains were for $1 because we wanted to go to Africa. Now, the cost for us to go to Africa per person was like $2,000. Which was a steal of a deal. But go ahead and come up here and stand. Once you get your envelope, go ahead and come up here and stand because I'm going to pray. We're going to pray and then we're about to dismiss. But y'all don't go back to your seats. Just come up here and stand right here in the middle because I want to look at you. And also, I want the anointing of God to come on you. You all can just stand right there on the step there. But this is the thing. As we were selling these keychains, Joy, you can come on up if you want. But we were selling these keychains. And they were $1 each. And we were making these keychains. I remember I had an assistant at the time who she was making these keychains. And she started crying because she was thinking, they're only $1. We're going to sell these for only $1 each. How are we going to? We need $2,000. We need $2,000. What are we going to do with these for $1? And the first door one young lady went to, she knocked on the door and said, hey, I want to go to Africa. I have this keychain for $1. Would you be willing to buy it? And the man said, I want to not only, he said, first go get your mother. Went and got the mother. She came and said, I want to not only give you the dollar, but I want to pay for your entire trip. the $2,000, and oh, it's already increasing. Awesome, praise God. Does anybody not have one? Go ahead, Charlie. Does anybody not have one? If you don't, we've got some dollar bills that are being handed around, so everybody can have one. Awesome. And so what this happened was, this guy said, not only do I want to pay for your way to Africa, the $2,000, I also want to give you spending money while you're there. Wow. Again. Wow. Tony, you can go ahead and play something, whatever you feel in your heart, something sweet. But this is the thing. Don't despise the day of small beginnings, and don't despise the dollar, because that $1 keychain increased into $2,000 plus spending money for a trip. I was going out trying to sell these dollar keychains, and people, I was making $30 an hour, which I thought was awesome for fundraising. $30 an hour, and I was all proud of that until the kids came back and said, we made $70 an hour. I said, man, that's a pretty good job. Pretty good fundraiser there. But my point is, take that dollar, believe God that it's going to grow, that it's going to increase. Bring it back, either pastor in a card for his birthday, Joy, October 8th for Joy, pastor October 4th. Is that correct? Am I right in that? Susan knows. She's the birthday, and pastor's 4th. Susan knows every one of your birthdays. I don't know if y'all knew that. She really does. She should be on like one of those TV shows, like the most talented, or what they call that, superhuman or something, when it comes to dates. But either pastor or bring it to the offering or whatever. It might be for the church. However you feel led, just bring it in the next week or two or however long until it's up to where you want it to be. But again, all I ask is that you don't eat your seed. And don't lose it, because you got to be stewards of the seed. And if you will, turn it back in that offering. I think it'd be cool in that offering envelope. Keep it with you so you don't forget it, doesn't get lost or whatever with other, oh, what was this? And you buy gum with it or whatever, and oh, that was that dollar. Hang on to it. And I believe God's going to increase you. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for every person that's here tonight, God. Lord, I pray you increase them financially. Lord, I pray that this seed, this simple $1 seed that's in their hands, God, I pray you let it multiply and grow. God, I pray for a life-changing increase financially as a result of this offering that they're going to give. God, let something click. Let something shift. Let it grow to be something way bigger than it ever could have in the natural. God, do something great with this offering, with this seed that they hold in their hand. Let it grow to become a forest, God. Not just a tree, but a money-producing, money-making forest in their life. As they give, they will reap. And as they're responding and recognizing the opportunity tonight, they're recognizing your word that says to do this, and they're going to see miracles as a result of it. And we thank you for that, God, in Jesus' name, amen and amen.